Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. And it's my great pleasure to welcome today's program, John Urban, who is Executive Vice President and General Manager at GT Nexus. And today we're going to talk about the cloud technology opportunity for 3PLs. Now, this is a topic that, I'm personally very interested in, and it's something I've written and talked a lot about, because IT and technology play such a crucial role in the value proposition of 3PLs. And that's always been the case, but arguably it's even more so today. And cloud is one of these topics that's obviously over the past few years has been getting a lot of buzz and a lot of attention. But really understanding what impact cloud has within this particular vertical industry, I think is a very worthwhile and interesting perspective to look at, because obviously 3PLs play such an important role in the supply chain logistics operations of many manufacturers and retailers out there. So it's great to have John on the program to kind of share his insight and ideas on this based on his experience working with 3PLs and logistics service providers. I just want to remind those of you joining us live today that part of our goal here at Talking Logistics is to make this conversational. So if you do have a question for John as we're having our conversation here, you can do so via the Submit a Question button, and I'll keep an eye on it. And if it's a good and appropriate question and we have time, I'll weave it into the conversation. If you are joining us as a visitor, however, you will have to sign in first before you can ask a question. So with that, John, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much, Adrian. I'm looking forward to it. Hope we have a good conversation today.
Excellent. Well, John, yeah, your first time here on Talking Logistics, and wherever we have someone new in the program, I always like to start before we kind of dive into the topic at hand, just to get a little bit of understanding of your background, right, and your career path, and how and why you got involved in supply chain and logistics. So why don't we start there? Tell us a little bit about your career path, how and why you got involved in supply chain logistics, and what kind of role and responsibilities are there at GT Nexus?
Sure. I started my career actually with IBM, and really didn't have a lot of thoughts about, like a lot of people who end up in supply chain, didn't have a lot of thoughts about entering into it as a career. And early on, pretty early in my career, I was asked more as a favor than anything else to take over a small mid-size intermodal refrigerated services company that was offering piggyback services out of California and Arizona to markets back east. The company was losing a lot of money and really needed to turn around. Fortunately, I think we were very successful in getting the thing turned around, and as a result, it was acquired by American President Lines, who then offered me an opportunity to not only get into international transportation and logistics, but to build a career in Asia and Latin America and do some pretty exciting things. So wasn't very planful to get into logistics, but like so many people in the industry, once you're in it, the bug begins to bite. Your interest accelerates, and you end up spending your entire life in it. With that, going into 1999, I was in a position where you could see a lot of things in the industry that needed to be addressed systemically around systems and business process and the ability to bring more efficiency to customers. The cloud was booming. I was fortunate enough to meet a good friend of mine now, a gentleman by the name of Aaron Sassone, who's the chairman of GT Nexus. And he really had a great vision for where what we now call cloud was going to go and what it was going to do around business networks. And I think I had a lot of problems that vision began to answer. So together we decided to put GT Nexus together, and we've been doing that ever since. So today, I'm fortunate enough to run our LSP businesses, and it's really a combination of our product offerings and platform offerings to LSPs, as well as the robust set of partnerships that we have across carriers and LSPs and the like, who are so essential to our network and to our customers.
Yeah, no, great journey there. Starting with IBM and then kind of getting into the operation side there of logistics and ultimately technology. I think that's a great combination of experiences there. One of my favorite quotes now that I've been using is I had the opportunity to go to the a conference earlier this year, and there was a young professional there who won a scholarship, and her quote was as to why she decided to study supply chain management and get into this field is that she knows that she's never going to live the same day twice. Which I thought was a great way to kind of part of the reason why I think folks, once you get involved, that's kind of the reason why that bug kind of bites you and you stick with it, whether it's on the operation side or the technology side or other ways. It is because it's such a dynamic and interesting industry to be in. So like I mentioned, you kind of work with a lot of logistics service providers there in your current role, and obviously that's part of your background as well. And you get to speak to a lot of executives, from the industry. So why don't we start with sharing a little bit about what do you see or what do you hear from them in terms of what's top of mind for them today, for executives at 3PLs, and what challenges and opportunities are they facing?
Sure. There's a that that's a that's a big, broad, open question, and there are literally hundreds of data points that we could talk about. But I think the two that really come to mind when you think about LSPs and the challenges facing them today is, and they're kind of going in opposite directions. The traditional business of LSPs, the forwarding customs house brokerage, the NVO business, the real true transactional businesses that drive so many LSPs today, are very much commoditizing. And while the business itself is growing and volumes are getting larger and people are putting more and more business out to 3P to LSPs, the margins are shrinking, and it's becoming a much more difficult business in that regard. And as a result, you're really seeing major efforts to drive for productivity and enhancements. You're seeing huge investments in proprietary operating platforms that can globally pull together and a global 3PL so that everybody's on the same operating platform, and it really is around cost control and margin enhancement. On the flip side, you see customer-facing requirements where customers are becoming far more demanding, far more specific about their partnering with their 3PLs to really drive complex supply chain strategies and supply chain solutions that really begin to go beyond the transactional and really into how do I totally reinvent and enhance my business processes to yield lower cost and higher quality outcomes. And as a result, it creates a huge opportunities for 3PLs to move into new higher margin, higher value businesses that but they're very, very different than the traditional transactional based businesses that 3PLs built originally.
No, that's a very interesting perspective because I think I agree with what you said. I mean, I think there is this kind of two sides of the coin, if you will, to what's happening in the industry, right? There's you can look at it from one lens and say the aspects of it are becoming commoditized, and certainly what I hear from a lot of 3PLs is that they don't want shippers or their customers to view them as a commodity, right? Which I think is in turn driving them to the other side of the coin, which is to say, what kind of other services can we provide, or value propositions can we provide, right, that presents us as a non-commodity, right? And I think, whenever we talk about logistics service providers and shippers, I always say it takes two to tango, right? Because you do have some shippers out there that still have that perspective of, well, an LSP is a vendor, right? They're a supplier. It's a, they kind of have that commodity mentality. And those that I would view as more enlightened truly view LSPs as partners, right? As someone that can provide some of this more value added, the more strategic type of services and benefits. I mean, do you see, obviously you also get to work with a lot of shippers. Do you see shippers kind of changing their perspective as well in terms of viewing 3PLs, logistics service providers, more from that strategic kind of lens?
Yeah, I do. You're right. It really is a continuum. There's no everybody doesn't move together. So there are customers that are still very much on the transactional side, and that's where they define their relationships with their 3PLs. And then there are customers who go to the other extreme of very strategic. But I think when I begin to think about it, you've got to think about it in terms of the large building blocks of what's going on in customer enterprise organizations today. And to take a quick step back, I'll try to move through this pretty quickly. When I think of the 90s and what really drove business process improvement and drove cost containment and growth, it was really all around ERP and systems of control that people were investing in. People were being able to break down the barriers between functional groups within their own enterprises and do better planning, better coordination, yield better results. And really that culminated all in Y2K when everybody stopped doing everything it seemed in IT from 1995 till 2003 and prepared for the number 2000 to suddenly have to be able to be handled efficiently in their systems. And it was terrific, but and what we really did see from an economic point of view was some real terrific growth in GDP and was really driven by productivity. And I think ERPs took a lot of that. We went through this brief hiatus in 2000 to 2005 where the new mantra for companies was demand planning. And everybody just thought that they could plan for demand and understand where it was going in the future so well that they could orchestrate internally. And I think what we found out is that while there were opportunities to improve demand planning, the fact of the matter is that you were still living in a world where at the end of the day, if you're going to be competitive in today's environment, you needed to build an agile, functional supply chain that was able to quickly adapt and change to changes in demand, changes in supply, changes across the world. So that with that as a background, I think customers are increasingly today doing things that they hadn't done in logistics before, and that is they're building out these networked systems across their entire partner base, their suppliers, their forwarders, their transportation providers, their brokers, their banks, and saying, "Listen, I need to be able to manage outside of my four walls, outside of my ERP, far more effectively today than I've ever done in the past in order to be competitive, in order to make my business grow." And with that, you're beginning to see people taking advantage of cloud-based solutions that are the new IT paradigm that enable those networks to effectively be built and managed. So when customers who are forward-thinking and networked thinking begin to think about the 3PLs going forward, they're really thinking about how do I outsource my and gain the advantage of all this logistics and supply chain expertise at the 3PL, but to do it in a way that makes my network more effective, that makes my network system, that makes my investment in technology more effective. I think that trend is clear, it's in place, and I think it's accelerating, and I think it's changing the work and the job that LSPs do for their customers going forward.
No, I agree, and I mean it's been one of my soapbox topics, if you will, over the past few years in terms of getting shippers, manufacturers, retailers, so forth, even in 3PLs, logistics service partners as well, to really thinking about in terms of networks and the power of the community and the role that that plays in truly building a supply chain that, when you talk about being responsive, when you talk about being agile, it's not just about the software, right? You also need that community, that ecosystem of trading partners, because they are few companies, if any, today are masters of their own universe, right? They're dependent and reliant on so many external parties. So kind of that network and community of external trading partners needs to be very very well integrated from a process standpoint, from a communication standpoint, to be able to drive some of the things that companies want to do from a some supply chain logistics standpoint. So let's talk about technology now, right? So when evaluating and selecting logistics service providers, IT capabilities is relatively high on the list of things that customers look for in a logistics service provider. How are the IT expectations from your perspectives, of 3PL customers changing, today, or how are they different today than in the past, and how are 3PLs responding?
Yeah, I think I think they are changing, and I kind of alluded to a little bit of this just before. I think more times than not, in the past, customers looked for 3PLs to come in with pre-baked systems that they've built that differentiate them from other players. I think in the future, customers are making much larger, stronger investments in their own systems, and they need to make sure that 3PLs are able to play on that network, play on that system very effectively. So it's everything from a data quality perspective as kind of a minimum point of entry. But more importantly, how can my 3PL come into my network, help me define process that builds agility, that reduces sources of variability, that yields positive results across my supply chain? How can they come in from a consulting perspective, from a configuration perspective, from a process management perspective, and do work that far exceeds the simple transactional work that the 3PLs were tried to accomplish in the past?
Yeah, no, one of the things I've been seeing in the industry for the past few years is what I've been calling the convergence of business models, where it's not just the operation side anymore, but you're seeing the worlds of service providers merge with technology providers, merge with consultants, right? It's providing the right mix of operations, technology capabilities, and consulting that shippers are looking for. But when it comes to the IT side, many 3PLs have historically faced what I've called the IT dilemma, right? And there's you can still have a lot of debates around this topic, right? And that is, 3PLs say, well, do we build our own solutions, right? Proprietary applications, or do we use and buy third-party applications? Getting now into the topic of cloud, is cloud technology changing the build versus buy dilemma for 3PLs?
I think it absolutely is, and you're seeing some massive changes in the systems that 3PLs are adopting and systemically standardizing on. Couple of things. So if you go back to the 80s and 90s in the area of supply chain and origin operations or PO visibility or anything related to supply chain, customer-facing systems, there really wasn't commercially available software that 3PLs could employ. So every incentive was there for the really innovative 3PLs to bring in IT people to build product that didn't exist, begin to offer to their customers as an exclusive. And that's built a lot of paradigms and momentum within the 3PL community that's the model that works, that should be there forever. Well, in fact, in reality, with cloud, the amount of supply chain technology that's being introduced to the market on a regular basis, that's frankly being driven by the customers of 3PLs, by Fortune 500 customers through the mid-sized market for how do I get my supply chain managed more effectively, is just growing exponentially. So we live in a world today where an individual LSP faces a really daunting task of trying to, from a technological perspective, keep up with what's available in the cloud, with what's available commercially off the shelf. And in fact, it's enabling those 3PLs to change their stance. And instead of being the smartest developer of software, what you really need to become as a 3PL is the smartest operator of software. The ability to quickly configure systems, to deploy them for your customers in a way that allows them to go to market faster, to enter new markets, to respond to changes in their current markets, to build business process with them, to connect them to their partners quickly and effectively across these cloud-based networks. So it's not so much what you build, it's the intellectual capital that you establish by knowing how to operate on the new paradigm, on the new technology in the cloud. One of the things that I think that you do see for those people who today still remain wedded to the idea that I need to build my own technology because it gives me an exclusive, because it differentiates me. There's two pieces around that I find uncomfortable from a customer perspective, from an enterprise perspective. One is, if you're going to build something yourself to differentiate, you really want to make sure that you're differentiating yourself to be good and not differentiating yourself to be fifth or sixth or seventh best. And that's a tough bar for people to get over. the second piece of it is that, and I think it's kind of a it's a backward paradigm, and that's the belief that if I build my own system as an LSP and I bring my customers onto it, it'll be sticky. It'll cause them to need to stay with me, and I'll have a competitive advantage. And what's kind of backward in that thinking, frankly, is that what you're really telling your customer is that when you're telling them it's sticky, is you're saying, geez, if I really begin to not do as good a job as you'd like, if I begin to have failures or I'm not doing as well, the fact that you're on my technology is going to cause you pain to change, and thus I'll be able to keep you. And that's kind of insidious. That says, geez, I want to create a situation for you, Mr. Customer, where even when I'm not doing such a great job, you're still incented to stay with me. And I think really forward-thinking LSPs are recognizing that they want to do two things. They really want to go out to their customers and say, hey, I am on the leading edge network and platform, and that's where I built my business. And I built an expertise there. And not only are you, Mr. Customer, able to take advantage of this leading edge network technology through me, but boy, if I frankly begin to not do such a good job, you've got latitude, you've got the ability to do something else other than to work with me. But what you do get from me is a commitment and a focus that I am going to be the best operator on that platform. I'm going to be the most creative. I'm going to be the most knowledgeable about how to deploy it for you in a way that yields positive results. So it really turns the paradigm around of the commitment that you're making, and your definition of stickiness goes from one where you're entrapping your customer to one where you're creating a virtuous circle with your customer, where you're driving up the value that you create, and thus you're creating stickiness with your customer because of the job that you're doing.
That's a great point, and you kind of already partly answered what was going to be my next question, which was, because I, you know, what I hear from a lot of 3PLs is, well, you know, how can I differentiate, you know, if I'm using the same, you know, solution as all my competitors, and how can we differentiate, right? I mean, using that as kind of the one of the key reasons why they continue to invest in their own proprietary solutions. And I know you already kind of talked a little bit about this. I mean, can you maybe provide an example or how being part of that community, being part of a platform, a 3PL can differentiate? I think the term you said is by being a better operator or in terms of how they configure the system or use the system, and that's the way they can differentiate. Can you kind of elaborate a little bit more on that or give an example of how that might work?
Sure. All these network-based supply chain solutions are big and complex, and they're, as opposed to the old days of coding where you would hardwire changes for a particular customer, they are highly configurable because these networks have hundreds and thousands of customers and partners all participating on them today. So they're highly configurable. So a 3PL who standardizes on a cloud-based solution has the ability to really get deep with their customer, understand what are their real supply chain objectives, what are they really driving to do, are they and it really is how they set the switches in the system, how they establish the configurability of it that yields the business process that the customer and the 3PL are going to operate on under, that really creates results. And as a result, Each implementation on a standard cloud environment can be highly different because of the difference in the needs of the customers. So 3PLs have the ability to do two things which again seem like they shouldn't go together, but they can move into a highly standardized technology platform, but highly customize it on a customer by customer basis. And they really do they really do create the ability from running their business to have the best of both worlds in their customer offerings.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great kind of insight there. And I think the other thing it allows is, I think it, and I'll ask this in just a minute, because I think part of the Achilles heel has always been data quality management. And I think it helps shift the focus away from, let's say, you know, purely developing software to really where I think where a lot of 3PLs spend their time and effort is on trying to ensure data quality. And I think that there's opportunities there where they can make investments and drive innovation on that front that will be helpful. But before we get your thoughts on that, we've got a question here from Alan. So I'm going to go ahead and put it up on the air and read it. And it says, is there a conflict between a shipper which has or procures its own connectivity and visibility platform and its three or four PLs who may have their own, but a different platform for connectivity and visibility?
I'm struggling with the term conflict. I don't think there is a what there what you would want to achieve is interoperability. What you really want to achieve with your 3PL is a single an agreement that there's that yours, the test customers, is the data repository of record. It's where all of the information is. So to the extent that the 3PL being on a different system creates conflict over what is the true status of the supply chain, what's the most current version of data or information around POs or shipments or the weather, then yeah, there would be conflict to the extent that those systems can be integrated so that the single record in the cloud of the status of supply chain is the same and it's the customer's view. I think they can be rationalized. I think where the question is going is an interesting one, and that is, are there significant benefits if my 3PL, if my LSP standardizes on the same cloud network that I as an enterprise, as a customer have? And we've got a lot of experience where we see that that is absolutely true. People hire their 3PLs to manage portions of their supply chain in their business. They hire network providers to get visibility across their entire expanse of supply chain. Where those two overlap, and the systems enable you to eliminate all integrations, you're just natively on the same platform. It really enables you to move beyond a partnership based on integrations to a partnership based on process management. So I think if that's where Alan's question is going, I think that is probably one of the more recently developing trends that I think really offers a lot of excitement for LSPs and customers, and one that I'm tracking very closely.
Yeah, no, and I think the other element of that question, and it's something that I've been giving some thought to, is this idea of federation of networks, right? So I think the idea is you've got an LSP that's using GT Nexus that he's part of that network, that community, and you've got a shipper that's part of another network, let's say. How does the GT Nexus and that other network talk to each other, right? So in some ways we're kind of moving away from talking about the interoperability or integration of different software applications to now, I guess the conversation becomes the interoperability and longer term integration of different networks that are out there. What's the status of that today? How do you see that evolving?
Yeah, I don't think we're at that stage yet. I think it's probably one that we will begin to see. If you take it to a little bit of a more current microcosm, I mean, there are 3PLs that have built huge transactional-based systems that need to connect into cloud networks that their customers are on, and they need to do it once, and yet have all of the customers who are on that cloud network benefit from it. So you're beginning to see, in that regard, the merger of networks with networks, everything within a 3PL's network connecting into everything within a customer's network or multiple customer network. But interoperability and the power of the networks is here and it's real. I think we'll look back 5 years from now on supply chain and it'll almost be like your grandfather looking back on a world in America where you had to go through a telephone operator to make a phone call to Poughkeepsie. And now, of course, we live in a world where we all have cell phones in our hands and we can call anybody we want in the United States in an instant. And I think that's the kind of paradigm change that's going on across supply chain from a connectivity perspective. And I think that's where the end goal is, where everybody is connected. They're always connected, and true solutions can be made that are far more agile.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think when we talk about B2B connectivity today, it is truly different than it was, 10, 15 years ago when you were talking about EDI and one-on-one connections and so on and so forth. And I think that kind of transformation is going to continue to happen, in the years ahead. Alan, great question. Thank you for bringing it up. I think it raised some good thoughts here. So let's get down to the question that I kind of alluded to before, with regards to poor data quality, because I think this is an area that, like I said, it remains the Achilles heel of supply chain management. What are you seeing best practices, or what best practices are you seeing in the area of managing data quality, which obviously, people talk about wanting visibility, end-to-end supply chain visibility, but without, timely, accurate, and complete, data, visibility becomes an elusive goal. So just curious in terms of, from a network standpoint, from a cloud standpoint, what are you seeing as kind of some best practices in the area of data quality management?
I agree with you that traditionally data quality in supply chain has been systemically bad across the board. And whether that be in transportation carriers, suppliers, LSPs, the like, the timeliness, the accuracy, the reliability of data has been systemically bad. I think cloud networks do a great deal to change things to enable those problems, which in the past were virtually unaddressable, to become addressable. And one of the simplest ways that it does it is in something that's very similar to crowdsourcing. A particular provider on the market, today may have difficulty providing good data on the status of a shipment that they're managing. They could be because of people processes, it could be because of systems infrastructure, it could just be because of lack of attention. And as you begin to take that provider and put them on a network and connect them to more and more players, the result of that bad performance is exacerbated. It's largely seen across the network. It gives that provider more and more reason to systemically address those to measure their data quality that they're providing and to systemically fix them. And as they identify a particular data issue for a particular customer and fix it, it's immediately fixed because it's a network across all the other customers that use that provider as well. So there's a lot of things that are inherent to cloud networks that could create virtual circles around data quality. Now that said, data quality is not something that you can fix and then wipe your hands and say, whew, I'm done, because the bad data quality will come back. It's something that constantly needs attention. And LSPs play a key role, I think, in as stewards on networks on behalf of their customers. There's today hugely robust tools that allow parties to measure the data quality that they're receiving from a particular partner on the network, whether that be an ocean carrier or a supplier or any other variety of people, to measure it for its quality, for its timeliness, for its accuracy, and for its currentness. And I think what we're beginning to see are 3PLs begin to offer those sorts of capabilities and services to customers to say, listen, I can take that on for you. I can help you generate scorecards across all of your partner network to understand compliance, to understand weak links, to understand remedial actions that need to be taken to drive it. And it's really becoming, I think, a business of its own. So good things going on there. The fact that today we are in an environment where you can truly, for the first time, measure and understand and share your measurements with other people and have them agree that yes, that is the status of the data quality that we're receiving, that becomes the basis for how you then drive improvement going forward.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, the ability to measure, and I think that's always been the obviously that's foundational to address the problem, and that's an area that many companies, whether they're 3PLs or, you know, the shippers themselves, have not had either the capabilities to do it, or they might measure it, but they really, the data quality management has never risen to the priority level to kind of actually put the processes in place to, you know, get that quality to where it needs to be. And I think you're right. I think that's one of the key areas where logistics service providers can play a leading role, is in driving better data quality across the supply chain network, which obviously has ripple effects from a financial standpoint, because, I mean, you could definitely put a dollar figure on poor data quality and what that impacts, and what impact it has on either increased inventory, on expedited delivery, out of stocks, you name it. A lot of times you can point back and see that part of the root cause of those issues was due to, you know, poor data quality. And I think that's a great value proposition for logistics service providers in terms of providing that as a service with the right measuring capabilities, the right tools to automate perhaps some of the issues, to address some of the issues. And then obviously, you know, putting the processes and the resources in place to do that on an ongoing process, because on ongoing basis, because as you said, you know, you just don't, you know, do it once and, you know, wipe your hands clean of it. It is an ongoing challenge. You know, John, we're kind of running short on time here, so I'm just going to go right to my last question here. I mean, where do you see the 3PL industry, you know, heading from a technology standpoint, and what actions should 3PLs take today to kind of prepare?
Okay, great question. You know, I'll give you an analogy just because I find it kind of entertaining. You know, if you were to ask me who the greatest hockey player of all time is, I would tell you Wayne Gretzky. You know, maybe that might age me. There's some great newer players out. But he was asked at one time, what makes you so great? Why are you able to score so many goals? And his answer was pretty simple. And he said, well, you know, I have a pretty good knack, a pretty good ability to skate to where the puck is going as opposed to where it is. And that analogy, I think, plays very much for 3PLs, because the world is changing and customers, 3PL customers, are moving at an accelerated pace to supply chains that are hosted and networked in the cloud. And they are proactively looking for 3PLs to take proactive stances with them and to help them to accomplish that, to standardize their systems to in the cloud as well, to become experts at cloud-based network systems. So I think where 3PLs are going, where 3PLs really need to go, they really need to sit back and say, if they don't have one today, what is my cloud strategy? What am I doing proactively to move my business to the cloud, to convert my business to the cloud, to make sure that my people are knowledgeable and expert and know how to drive value for their customers with cloud-based solutions? And I think that's really the challenge for the industry today. And I think it's a very positive challenge. How do I move my business from the physical world of my in-house IT today onto cloud network systems and build a business that can enhance my profitability and enhance my ability to help my customer?
Yeah, great analogy and great food for thought. You know, absolutely. I think, you know, kind of asking those questions and really taking it from the customer's perspective, right? It's understanding where the customer's heading. And I think you're right. I mean, if you look at everything that you see out in the industry, you know, there's a strong move towards the cloud environment. So, you know, logistics service providers certainly need to take that step back, as you suggested, and ask that question in terms of you know, what role is cloud going to play in their, you know, their strategy, their ability to keep pace with what their customers are doing and asking them, you know, to do. John, like I always say at the end of all our episodes, you know, we always just manage to scratch the surface on these topics, but I think we had a good start today in terms of really, you know, opening up this discussion around the cloud technology opportunity for logistics service providers. So I want to thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to be with us today.
Adrian, thanks very much. I really enjoyed it. I hope we could do it again, but I really enjoyed the conversation.
Great. I want to thank all of you who joined us live today. And Alan, thank you for your great question. If you are watching this episode on demand and you do have a question for John, you can find this episode on talkinglogistics.com and you can post a question or comment there. And I'm sure that John will be more than happy to respond via that medium. And with that, again, thank you for joining us and look forward to seeing you in another episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.